8. He said it's a stumbling block, a rock of offense, those that stumble at the word. What is he talking about? He's talking about the same folks, you know, the naysayers and the gainsayers, the folks that said, oh, that you talking, you better go do something else. All you, I know you say you believe the word, but I don't believe it for you. He says, so what if some don't believe? Paul said, does that make the word of God non-effect? God forbid. So what if they don't believe what you said that you believe, but it's been written in the word? All you got to do is hold on to God's unchanging hand, forgetting those things which are behind me, forgetting those people, forgetting what they said, forgetting what they did, forgetting how they handled you, forgetting how you were sick because of your worrying.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, hold on a little while longer. Hold on a little while longer. This is an encouraging message today. I won't be long because the verse isn't long. But it is challenging us as believers to hold on to God's unchanging hand, no matter what our situations are, what our difficulties are, what our trials and tribulations are, to hold on a little while longer. One of the reasons why it's important to understand that what we go through is a part of our struggles and a part of our growth and a part of our development. It is a part of how God defines us and brings us to a new level in Him and a new level in our authority and a new level in understanding that we are representatives of the Most High God. It's important to recognize that because we are connected with Christ Jesus and He has suffered, we too in this world must have troubles, have tribulations, for He declared it, in this world ye shall have tribulations. But He says, be of good courage. for I have overcome. And here it is, it infers that if we are connected to him and he's gone through, that we who are connected with him will experience the same overcoming power and victory that Jesus did. It's amazing how we want to be like him, but we don't want to go through nothing. We don't want to deal with the stressors and all of the difficulties that he had to walk through in this earth realm to be clear about who he was and whose he was. If we are going to be like Jesus, then that means we're going to have to be tempted. We're going to have to be tried. We're going to have difficult days. We're going to have to cry sometimes. We're going to be in a place and position where every fiber of our being is challenged. And one of the things that we've got to be clear about is that we are coming through the very thing that we're being tested in. Listen, listen, if you will, because the writer of the psalm here is speaking clearly when he says, be still and know that I am God. Be still. There are three things in this verse I want to pull out. The first one is the fact that he's encouraging the believers to hold on a little while longer. Be still suggests, first of all, that you must be a believer. You must be a believer in those truths that God has already revealed to you, that you've already experienced with God, that you've already encountered with God, and what he's done once, you're confident he can do again. So when it says, be still, it's literally saying, fret not thyself. Don't be anxious and worried. Don't be fidgety and moving, trying to find a solid and firm place to rest and to hold out till the storm passes over. You ought to know in whom you trust. And know in whom you believe. And know that no matter what you go through, God's got you covered. In other words, you ought to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, which is warped. Listen. It's temporal, it's short-sighted, it's weak. And so you don't want to lean towards your own understanding because it's your own understanding that got you in the mess up that you're in anyhow. And so it's important to know that if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now listen at this, because I want you to see this. He says, be still, conjunction, and know. While you are still, you are focusing on what you already know. What do you know? This too? Shall pass. Be still. Don't squirm. Be confident. Hold your position. Why? Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Be still. Why? Because the Lord has already given you the confidence that nothing can separate you from the love of God, not anything. And so your confidence is not in your crisis. Your confidence is in the God who watches over you during the crisis. You got to have that steadfast, firm, solid as a rock conviction that God's got my back, God's got my front, God's got my top, my bottom. He's got me covered all around, and can't nothing and nobody do me anything that God does not permit. Be still and know. Draw on your experiences past while you are presently going through your trials. You see, one of the things God wants you to recognize is what he has already brought you through in the past, he's quite capable of bringing you through in the present. It may not be the same situation, but here's what you need to know. No matter what the situation, it's the same God who has the same power to do the same thing he did once before. Listen at this again. And know that I am God. Not that anyone else is. Not that any other is. But he and he alone is God. My brothers and sisters, when you have that kind of confidence in God, knowing that no matter what comes against you or who comes against you, his word says, listen, if God be for you, who can be against you? We're still looking for who to step up. Who thinks he can be against you when God is for you? Because every opponent that steps up and tries to come against you must first come against God. If you don't believe it, just ask Job. Job will reveal that God is faithful. So when the writer is encouraging us to hold on a little while, why a little while? Why a little while? Because a little while is all it's going to take for God to do what he said he can and will do if you trust him. As a matter of fact, the more firm you are going through your storm, going through your trial, the less you wiggle and worm, the more you show God that you're confident in him, and the more you show the enemy you're not worried about the mess he has pulled against you, because you're coming out of this thing and you're coming with your hands and your head lifted up, because our God is faithful. Why is it so many believers fall apart going through their struggles? Why do they doubt God when the enemy shows his hand? And God every day shows you his mighty hand. Why is it that we fall apart at the seams when things don't appear to be working out the way that we want them to work out, when we realize that God is still in control? You see, you've got to know, not think, not feel, not hope, not even pray, that God can and God will. You have got to know that he is God. Now, second thing I want you to know is what he said. I will be exalted among the heathen. Now, listen to this. He deals with the believer first. He says, believer, don't stress. Don't freak out. Don't become unglued. Just be still. Just stay right there and know that nothing can move the believer who believes in God. Just like a tree planted by the rivers of water, you shall not be moved. So be still. But now he's dealing with another group of people here now. For he says, I will be exalted among the heathen. So here's what you've got going on. You're being still. They're wondering why you're not worried. They're wondering why you're not shivering. They're wondering why you're not getting ready to run. They wonder why your nerves are not frayed. They're wondering why you've got this peace that passeth all understanding. It's because you know the battle isn't yours, but God. He wants you to be still because you won't have to fight in this battle. See, some of you have got to recognize you're fighting the wrong battle. You're fighting God's battle when God has told you, be still. Watch him do what only he is able to do. Now, at the same time, he's telling the enemies, he's telling those who come against you. He's telling all those who think differently from what he's told you this message. I will be exalted among the heathen. The heathen is looking and they're waiting for your demise. They're waiting for your fall. They're waiting for you to come unglued. They're waiting for your program to fall apart. They're waiting for the bottom to fall from under you. They're waiting to see all that you have given to God and put in God's hand come to naught. And God says, wait a minute, before this thing is over, I will have the enemies of you exalting me. I will be exalted among the heathens. You see, what the heathen doesn't realize is God has got the heathen in his hand also. See, what the heathen doesn't realize is the plot that the heathen set up against the believer has got to be approved by God. If it's not approved by God, then the heathen who plotted the plan will be taken out by the same plan he plotted. The old folk used to put it this way, if you dig one ditch, you better dig two. Because the one you dig is going to be for you. He's trying to get the heathen to know you're messing with the wrong people. And see, all you have to do is be confident in who you are and whose you are. And sooner or later, the enemy's going to realize this is a battle we can't win and a war we need to leave alone because our arms are too short to box with God. They don't always know. They don't always see. They don't always hear. They don't always understand the confidence we have in God. But once we keep our confidence and our cool and we trust him to do the whole situation as only he can, then the enemy will get to see our God for themselves. And soon they will exalt him themselves. See, that's why you don't have to worry about the enemy doing you no harm. Now, the enemy's going to try. That's his job to do that. But what you've got to understand is it ain't over till it's over. And God's going to make it clear in the end, because you are his, that victory belongs to him and to his. And you belong to God. And so does that victory. So many believers I see on the verge of troubles, on the verge of dropping everything that God has given, on the verge of jumping over the cliff, on the verge of giving up life, because they don't know how to be still and know that their God is well able. Third thing I want to tell you is that he says, I will be exalted in the earth. He said, be still, believers. Watch me become exalted with the heathen, the ones who are messing with you, the ones who are trying to destroy you, the ones who think they have the victory over you, the ones who think their plots are going to make it, but they're going to fail. Watch me work on them until they lift me up. But then he says, be still, because you're not through watching yet. He says, thirdly, I will be exalted in the earth. Now, what does this mean? If I'm going to be exalted among the heathen, then I need you to understand the next level takes it to a far-reaching point. I will be exalted in the earth. Why does this, again, brings to mind the fact that there is some yet others whom the Lord knows he needs to convince? There are some people who don't believe God is real. The Bible says, the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There are some people who don't believe that God is supreme, God is supernatural, that God is the supreme God who rules, and as the old church used to say, super rules over everything and everybody. They think that the Big Bang Theory caused everything that is here today. Well, what happened to the stuff that blew up? Where did it come from? See, if you're going to have a Big Bang, you got to have some substance for the bang to come from. Look, John chapter 1 says in verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So you got to know, ain't nothing here, there, or anywhere is made up except it comes from God. And so he has some folk in the world he's got to convince. That's why you got to let your light so shine. That's why you got to be a witness. That's why you got to lift him up so men can see him and be drawn unto him. Because the world also must exalt him. The idols in this world, those who are created by man to be gods, have got to recognize it isn't but one true God. You do remember when Elijah had the showdown on Mount Carmel, don't you? 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the grove. It was just Elijah. He said, listen, church, believers, y'all need to decide who you're going to serve. Whether it be God or whether it be those who pretend to be God. He said, but whatever one is God, let him answer by fire, and let us serve that God. And you remember the challenge that all of the 850 opposers of the God Jehovah went first built their altar, put on their sacrifice, called on their God from 9 to 3 p.m., and their God didn't answer. And Elijah said, wait a minute, it's my time. It don't take that long for a true God to answer. He'll answer while you're yet calling him. I know he will. He went on and went through what they decided to do. So he built his altar, put 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel, put the bullock on the altar. He said, well, that's not good enough. Let me take some water and pour it on. So he built a trench all around the altar and filled it up until the bullock, the sacrifice, was saturated with water, not once, not twice, but three times, and everything in the trench was soaking wet. The wood was wet, the stones were wet, the sacrifice was wet. And then he stood back and prayed a 62-word prayer. The Lord's prayer is only 66 words. And he simply prayed to God and made it clear, God, the world needs to know you're God all by yourself. I want you to answer by burning up the bullock, the sacrifice, burning up the altar, burning up the stones, and burning up the water till there is nothing left. So there is no hesitation or confusion about you being God all by yourself. And when he finished that short prayer, fire came down from heaven and did just as the man of God had said. And the world saw he was God all by himself. You see, my brothers and sisters, what we miss is that God knows he's God. You, as a believer, ought to know he's God. And if you stand on those two truths, everybody else will know that he is God. And so the man of God took those prophets of Baal and those prophets of the grove and took them down to the brook of Kidron and slew each and every one of them there, proving that he was God and God alone. But here is the confidence this man of God had. He was still, while they were doing all that they were doing, because he knew when his time came, all he had to do was trust in God. I'm closing this message today, my brothers and sisters, with hopefully helping the believer to know that no matter what you're going through right now, be still. Be still and know that he is God.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three